Bros chilling in the hot tub, 5 feet apart because they're not gay. Two bros, 5 feet apart because they're two bros.
Hello, two bros. And welcome to We Rate Weird, the show where we explore the blurry line between homie and homo. I'm Sky, your host. My pronouns are he, she.
I'm Devin, your other host. My pronouns are he, him.
I'm Emery. My pronouns are they, she, he.
And I'd like to point out...
Objection.
You're just objecting? Yeah. Well, I was going to say that I need to I need to submit some faulty evidence to the court.
Overruled.
Oh. Well, shit.
Wait, no, wait. Faulty evidence? Let's hear him out.
Faulty evidence. So, at the time...
This could affect your career as a podcaster.
That's true. At the time of our last Ace Attorney recording, I made the claim that our next Ace Attorney episode would cover games 2 and 3 and would only be one episode and would cover all of that. That is still true. However, turns out the walkthroughs that I was watching, my detectives that are preparing my evidence for me, listed the end of the last game, and it did have credits. The last, like, case in game one has these, like, it has a credit sequence, so you think, oh, okay, it's the end of game one. And then there's, like, this bonus case.
Should have treated it like a Marvel movie.
Really fucking long. And I thought that was the beginning of game two. And then it ended, and I was like, oh, okay, that's the end of game two. Guess that's why I thought the beginning of game two was where Miles Edgeworth was dead.
Should have treated it like a Marvel movie.
Uh-huh. So I'm still unclear in terms of, like, whether that was, like, a late release or, like, an added thing or what is going on with the Ace Attorney trilogy.
I think I heard this somewhere. I might be completely wrong about it. Is that Japan Ace Attorney was originally a Game Boy, then it got ported to the DS, and, like, the whole fifth case was, like... A DS exclusive.
That does make sense.
And that's why it had the fingerprint parts with the funny touch controls and blowing into the mic, I assume. This was the PC port.
That is true. DS is the gayest console.
Yes. Yeah.
No, and I was like, oh, I forgot that your, like, companion in, like, the second game was, like, somebody who knows forensic science, so you, like, actually, like, you know, do some things with your case. Yeah, that's the bonus case. That's the only time you ever do forensic science in the series, I presume.
God, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I be a lawyer if I wouldn't do forensics?
Exactly. That's literally not their job.
That's for someone to give to me and me say, I won't interpret this.
Not if you're a defense attorney.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Phoenix has to do all that himself. We're still in game one, baby. We're in some bonus content now. But I do think the next games will be shorter, so that will probably just be one episode. But we're going to jump right in. Because we've already, you know, we got the ball rolling with this Ace Attorney shit. Y'all know what we're about to talk about. So in this one, Maya's not in this one. Nor her sister Mia. She went to do some spirit training. And Phoenix has literally been so depressed he has not taken any new cases, which is just really sad.
Yeah, hasn't taken any cases, hasn't taken any showers, you know how it is.
Yeah, he's literally just going to the law office every day unshowered, uncleansed.
That's why his hair's like that.
I mean, we've been new, but, like, come on, man. It's getting grungy.
I think it's his right.
You think it's his right?
His yeah. Phoenix right?
We're funny here.
I mean, I think he would defend his right in court.
Yeah. His Phoenix right in court, yeah.
To have greasy hair, yes, his Phoenix right.
Your Honor, look at the evidence here. It's a note from my doctor saying I'm sad little boy.
Your Honor, I look like shit.
I think our judge would accept that. I do love our judge.
Your Honor, you gotta understand. I look like garbage. Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. He'd be like, yeah, you do.
Yeah, please go shower.
Yeah, please do that.
Please, I'm begging you, go shower.
Yeah, please go do that. So our sidekick in this one is going to be Emma Skye, and she shows up much like in our predecessor, is like, my sister got accused of a crime, and I don't think she did it, so can you, like, defend her? And she's like, damn, or right, not she, is like, damn, I gotta do this. But then
I gotta do my job.
Yeah, he's like, damn, this reminds me of my friend who I'm really depressed about, so that means I should take the case, I guess. So we go down to the prison, and there's her sister, Lana, who is like, no, I did it. I stabbed a guy. I did that. So don't worry about it. This is a fun case because this is Miles Edgeworth's boss, as we will come to find out. Yeah, she's just very cold and aloof as we meet her, and she's like, no, I don't want you to defend me. And Emma's like, no, you're my sister, I hate you. And she's like, no, that's fine. Don't defend me, because I did it. Don't worry about it. But she did know Mia, and she did, she said, oh, I remember Mia. I remember she was attracted to me. And Wright said, what? And Emma said, intellectually attracted.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. So I wish we got more of that. I want to see Mia and Lana.
Yeah, I would like to see it.
Yeah, I want to see them hanging out. So we meet one of our first witnesses here. Her name is Angel Starr. And she's just...
Great name, first of all.
She's beautiful. She's just here. She's given out lunch boxes. And they, you know, degrade in quality depending on, like, how much she hates you. So that's fun. We love her. So
when you
she's
say
down
she,
there basically talking shit about prosecutors.
When you say she gives out lunchboxes, every time she makes, like, a dramatic statement, she holds out a different bento box with a meal relating to what she said.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Mm-hmm. If you're really rude to her, she's like, here's some, like, you know, hot dog platter. And you're like, whoa, that's rude.
Here's some
you're
dirt like, off the
okay,
ground.
It's whack. It's whack as fuck, but whatever.
It's very good. From there, we go upstairs to meet the new chief prosecutor, who is Miles Edgeworth. And we find out that in this case, the body was found in his car. And he's just kind of like, yeah, I don't really know anything about that.
Do we think that Miles knows how to drive, or is that car just for show? He is gay.
I think he's a gay who knows how to drive and doesn't do math.
Okay. Yeah, I think
that's
correct.
Oh, I was going to say he does neither.
You know, you compelling argument.
Well, we know he doesn't have a good relationship with his father because his father died right in front of him.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think he can't do any of it.
The only thing he can do is prosecute.
That's the only thing he knows.
The only thing he knows is forge evidence, eat hot chip, and lie.
Eat hot chip and crush coffee cup, yeah.
And cry.
Yeah, and get so mad that he crushed coffee cup.
Can we talk about Wright's smirk? Like, that sprite that his facial animation has? He just has a smirk in this one, and it drives me kind of bonkers every time I see it, because he looks like he's, like, it's a very funny face.
Is it because he's doing, like, the DreamWorks face a little bit?
Are you talking about
bit.
The one
he is
where
a little
he...
bit doing the DreamWorks face.
Are you talking about the one where he somehow inexplicably gets, like, 1930s cartoon eyes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing, like, 1930s like, DreamWorks face.
Half-quirked little smile. It's, like, the closest to a smile we ever get for him, and it does not look like one.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a thoughty kind of thing.
He does! He looks a little, like, mischievous thoughty. He's like, ooh, Phoenix.
I know.
Like,
yeah, he looks like
know, a
cartoon
a
cat that's about to transform, that's about to, like, stretch and squash himself into a big spring that bounces all around the place.
Yeah, he looks like he's about to look like Tom in that one image where he's a cube.
Yeah.
Or Tom when he is has cowboy boots and he's trying to impress another cat.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I had Tom and Jerry on my mind a lot lately.
Do you think Tom that Phoenix good. Wright eated the cheese?
I think he eated the cheese and looked like a big triangle, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yep.
can't get out of this one in court, Phoenix. I think you're guilty.
Everyone, are you sure? So you're saying you didn't do it? Phoenix Wright, who looks like a big triangle. Yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
Phoenix Wright, who won't answer the question by opening his mouth, because if he did, you'd be able to see the big block of cheese still in there.
Yeah, he would be a triangle because he eat a cheese.
He eated the cheese, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He says cheese to meet you.
Yeah, that's correct. Do you think, counterpoint, do you think Tom and Jerry are queer bait?
Yes.
Yeah.
If I have to do Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck one day, then I will do Tom and Jerry, yes. It'll be a very fun episode because it'll be an episode entirely based on the vibes of they've tried to kill each other a lot, and that's a little gay, huh?
It's a little gay to have a rival is the thing.
Yeah.
Well-established facts on this podcast, repeatedly trying to murder someone is gay as hell.
Yeah, go back to our Prestige episode, thank you.
Go back to our Naruto episode.
Yep.
I mean, it's all there.
Go back to any episode that looks like I'm helming, like it looks like I'm choosing the thing, and it'll probably be the vibe.
It's gonna be about them killing each other.
Yeah.
So, Edward's gonna be prosecuting this trial because obviously Lana can't because she's, you know, the defendant. So Lana! That sucks. He's got, you know. Miles has to prosecute his boss in court after she ostensibly hid a body in the trunk of his car. But
that's what friends are for. I don't know why everyone has such a big deal about it.
Yeah. He also received...
Thought we were besties.
So on this day, Miles Edgeworth is a little embarrassed because he received a King of Prosecutors Award. And every time Phoenix or Maya pointed out to him, or Emma pointed out to him, he gets very embarrassed and shy about it. He says, no, I hate it. I lost a whole day of work to win this award. I don't like it. Don't talk to me about this award. And he looks very, very edgy about it.
The award basically is king of the biggest piece of shit around.
Yeah.
I do like to
the
think...
The biggest fucker.
I do like to think that that as part of the award ceremony, they put, like, a little Ranking of Kings Boji crown on his head, and he had to walk around like that, and as soon as...
Did they give him a cape and scepter, too?
I can only assume so, and just at the
They gave him, like, a nice cape and a scepter, and said, you can't take it off all day today.
At the first available opportunity, he took it all off.
Yeah, Dick Gumshoe did it earnestly, and everyone else was just laughing at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone said, you look great, King, and then everyone said, yeah, King.
Yeah.
Gumshoe said, you look great, King, benevolently, and then everyone else said, you look great, King, maliciously.
That's exactly right. So this is the case of everybody hating Edgeworth. This is just, like, you going around to different people.
Isn't that every case?
Yeah, but more so in this one. Everyone's just like, you know what? That Edgeworth guy, he's always forging evidence and lying. And we hate that guy.
Yes.
We have to talk about the Blue Badger because, like, the funniest part of this game is...
First of all, great name.
Yeah, I don't know why it's called the Blue Badger because it doesn't really look like one, but...
It's kind of like the Pink Panther, but not...
I think
Pink Panther's still a panther.
I think it's
the Pink Panther, but he's a Blue Badger.
I think it more has to do with the fact that his head is kind of like a police badge. With the 3 points.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Like a weird-shaped
police badge, but you know.
I don't know, but okay. Yeah. I think that's clearly what it's supposed to be. I literally am putting that together right now in my head as you say that, so...
You would never call that a badger.
Not one person
the
on the planet of Earth.
A badger is its own thing.
Yeah, the thing about a badger is, like, that's an animal that I can picture. And when you say badger, I'm not thinking badge-er, you know?
No, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking, when I see a badger, I'm like...
I'm like, where's his police badge?
But, like, which group is he affiliated with?
Mm-hmm.
Which precinct?
Yeah, so mystery solved. Case closed.
Looks like we've solved another mystery, gang.
Not guilty.
Objection.
So the reason we start talking about the Blue Badger is Gumshoe tells us that he's kind of like kicked off of proceedings in this court case. Like they're kind of shutting him out. So he's been trying to learn the Blue Badger dance all day. Emma's very kind of just like, could you not be doing like anything else? Very sadly, while her sister's in prison.
Could you not be like trying to help me? And he's like, nah, sorry.
Yeah.
Listen.
Nah, sorry. Got kicked off the case.
Yeah, whomst among us can...
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, whomst among us could resist just, like, just fucking around a little if we've got nothing to do at work.
Exactly. Hey, Jinx.
Cry of the workers.
We all sit there and we're like, oh no, I can't do any work. That's crazy.
It's crazy that I can't be productive right now.
Oh my god. I would love to be productive, but I was told not to be.
Oh my gosh, my boss doesn't have any new tasks for me. What am I gonna do?
Oh my god. It's crazy. And, you know, we're actually, like, about 2 hours away from lunch, so any task I start now would basically not get done anyway, so I probably shouldn't be assigned any new ones either.
Exactly. So Gumshoe talks a little more about how unpopular Edgeworth is, and he forges as evidence, and he's stinky and whatever.
And that's true.
Yeah, and then we're at the trial. We walk in, and the judge is like, you know, are you ready? And Wright is like, I'm ready. And then he's like, okay, is the prosecution ready? And Miles goes, the prosecution's been ready for a while now, Your Honor. So starting off great.
What a great thing to say to a courtroom full of people who fucking hate you.
I don't know why he's
Miles
like this.
Miles Edgeworth is like a wrestler heel, but he doesn't know he's like a wrestling heel.
No.
Like, he's just saying shit that he knows will get the crowd to go, boo! But I don't think he knows that he's doing that. I think it's just how he be.
Yeah.
He's like, why are they there
so that people cheer for Phoenix Wright, and he doesn't know it yet.
He's like, why are you all booing me? I'm right. Yeah. I've been ready for a while.
Why are you booing me? I'm the best prosecutor.
I'm such a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I do so good. Why are you yelling at me?
Exactly.
And you know what? I understand him.
It's great, too, because so Angel is our first on the stand, and she's talking about, you know, basically she just gets up there to say, oh, yeah, I saw Lana do it. Also, I hate prosecutors with a burning passion in my stomach.
Me too.
And she says prosecutors have twisted methods that get tragic results, and Edgeworth just bows to her and says, your uninformed opinion is duly noted. Thank you.
God.
Wrestling heel. He can't stop himself. He can't stop from hitting the actually. Why don't you educate yourself?
He's just such a bitch.
He's so fucking funny. He can't stop himself from making himself public enemy number one.
It's beautiful.
He's the guy in the room that you're like, I know you're right and I should be defending you, but you're so fucking annoying.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days, Edgeworth is going to get suplexed off the top of the witness stand.
Oh, 100%.
And I desperately need to be there when that happens.
Someone's going to take his ass down.
I desperately need to be in the room to say, do it again.
Exactly.
Now hit him with a pile driver is what I'll say. Give him the people's elbow.
That would be a wrestling match I would see, honestly.
Miles Edgeworth getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
I'd be desperately running around the room looking for a folding chair.
Every 2 seconds he just says objection before another person just like full on kicks him.
Exactly. He's got that shit-eating grin. Okay.
Oh, yeah, the plot.
The plot. Yeah, I mean, we kind of go on from there. Angel is saying... Her testimony mostly becomes relevant because she brings in evidence law, which we find out that Miles Edgeworth knows. Phoenix Wright does not, and is only basing, like, his answers as to whether or not... they are correct or not on Edgeworth's expressions on how well it's going, like, now, in court for them.
Fellas.
Mm-hmm.
Fellas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it gay?
Mm-hmm.
To determine the entirety of your case law based on your ex's micro expressions?
Yes.
Extremely.
Okay, see, I think we're already there.
It's very gay to be a lawyer, and your only way to get through lawyering is cheating off your ex-boyfriend, who is, like, your rival.
Yeah, based on the looks of anger and disappointment and glee he has on his face.
Yeah, just, like, playing 3D chess with his facial expression.
Fucking cold reading him from across the room to fuck with his court case.
It's pretty gay.
It's really funny, also.
If they played poker, Edgeworth would get annihilated, and he would have no idea why.
Yeah, because once again, he doesn't know he's doing it.
It's beautiful.
Or maybe Phoenix would lose, because I don't think he knows how to bluff.
Hey, here's a question.
Uh-huh.
Do you think if you, like, recorded a video of Miles Edgeworth's, like, facial expressions during a court case and tried to show it to him, do you think he would kind of behave like those robots from Westworld where, like, you show them their schematics and they're like, I don't see much of anything? Do you think he would fully be like, "What? Why are you showing me, like, a blank screen?"
Yeah, probably. I think Phoenix can bluff. I think he makes his entire way through his court cases every single time.
Yeah, I think he bluffed his way through fucking law school.
Bluffing, you know, that's true.
I think he was a nice young man, and they said, well, your grades are shit, but...
I'm not sure Miles can bluff. I think he can talk his way into, like, other people folding, but I'm not sure he can bluff.
He can't. Once again, he can't control his facial expressions. I don't think he knows he's doing it. Also, you know, if he got a good hand, he would immediately be like, might as well fold now. And exactly. Everyone would be like, okay.
Exactly.
Like, he couldn't stop himself.
I think he and Phoenix would sweep because Phoenix would just, like, everyone would be so mad at Edgeworth. And Phoenix would just be there like, whoopsie, I'm just having fun and just collecting all the chips the entire time.
Yeah, Phoenix would just straight up just be kind of having that, like, polite smile on the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
As everyone yells at Miles Edgeworth.
Yeah, he'd just be there, and whenever he and Miles made eye contact, he'd just have a smug little smirk, like, I'm winning, bitch.
Yeah, he would kind of look like Kirby in the corner with, like, a polite little smile on.
Yeah, exactly.
Please give me a Phoenix Wright spinoff game where it's just Phoenix and Miles go into a casino, and put it on the original DS, thank you.
That's right.
I would very much like to see it, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so basically Angel Star's testimony doesn't really matter. Gant, the chief of police,
Angel
Star
is just such a good name.
I know. She's good. She's here to mostly have tits, but, you know, she's cool.
Angel Star.
Her name is Angel Star.
Angel Star.
With two R's.
So fucking stupid.
And she's just up there on the stand like, you know what? You're being a bitch. Here's a shitty little bento box. But she keeps, like, getting on the judge's good side by giving him, like, extra nice bento boxes. So he lets her give her, like,
extra
testimonies
and stuff. I'm
going to
start doing that at court.
Exactly.
I'm going to show up to court with, like, a bento box of, like, nice things and just hand it to the judge and say, I think that rests my case.
I rest my case.
And you're going to be like, oh,
fried
you
shrimp tempura.
He's like, oh, you cut the hot dog to make it look like a squid. And I'm going to be like, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, Your Honor, we literally have video of him, like, leaving the scene of the crime with the bloody knife. And I'm going to be like, and in that side is a rice cake.
Mm-hmm.
I will always accept food bribes, and that's why I'm not a judge.
And that's why
we would all
make great judges.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should all be judges.
I think we should.
Yeah, well, we kind of are judges in our own little courtroom called this podcast. And
that's true. If any of the authors of this show, of any of the things we've done on here, would like to send me food.
$2 million cash.
Well, $2 million cash. Or they want to bake me some food.
Yeah.
I'll reconsider. you know?
Yeah.
Author, I'm just putting that out there.
Author of Hunter's Unlucky, I might forgive you for the amount of Roop and... Was it fucking Halvery?
Yeah.
Who the fuck was it? Yeah, all the Roop Halvery sex scenes if you send me lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I might forgive you for that.
Isn't it crazy how all the defendants on this podcast have been guilty?
They're all fucking guilty. They're all fucking guilty of being very gay.
That's right.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all guilty of different things on this podcast. Sometimes they're guilty of being gay. Sometimes they're guilty of being so straight it's gay.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're guilty of hating women so much that they don't know how to write a woman.
Exactly. Sometimes they're guilty.
And then it makes it gay.
Sometimes they're guilty of being Wednesday.
That's true.
Sometimes yeah, sometimes they're
guilty of being Tim Burton.
Yeah, sometimes they're jail immediately.
Yeah, Tim Burton or J.K. Rowling, if you send me a gift basket, don't.
It should be cash.
Yeah.
Is what
it
you're
should be
me.
Cash, and I am still not reconsidering, but thank you.
Yeah, give me money and...
About a few million dollars cash.
Give me money, it will
actually,
not be
you'll
you buy my
silence. Actually, if you send $2 million cash, you might buy another episode on me trashing it again, because I won't change my mind, but I'll talk about it again.
Yeah, I'll reconsider a little bit, and my reconsideration will be like... Damn, still sucks.
Damn, it still sucks, but thanks for the dough.
Give me money.
It'll be our first sponsored episode.
Give me money. It will not change my ruling of 1 million years dungeon, but give it to me anyway.
That's right.
Yeah,
I deserve it.
It will not stop you from being put in front of the firing squad, but I might, like, sign the bullet with a little heart.
That's right, a little kissy.
Yeah, I give it a little kissy on there. Just for you.
That's right. Okay, can we talk about Gant now?
Yeah.
I think we gotta.
I think Gant is beautiful. I love a guy with a big cross on his chest who, as we will find out soon, has a big ol' organ in his in his office. In his
Holy
office
shit.
In the police department? Why?
Because he's based.
Exactly, but like...
Like, he's a cop, so that's not great. But also, he's based. And you know what? Based on what?
Based on what? How'd he do that? How'd he get... Is that just, like, a tradition?
He had it built around it. He had the police office built around it.
Okay, but, like... I assume the police department has been there longer than this man has been there.
Nah, they made a new building for him. That's just how cool he is.
Like, I would believe it.
You better. It's what happened.
Yeah, so he shows up basically to make Edgeworth look like a little bitch. He's like, oh, there's some evidence you didn't know about. You should have known about it, though. We sent someone to you.
Maybe.
Yeah, we definitely did, but...
Maybe.
They were a little bitch, so I don't know. Also, someone died in the police department that day.
Yeah, whoopsie. It's crazy.
It's so crazy.
Have you ever
that
seen
happened.
The Dark Knight?
Also, Judge, you're my best friend, so it's all cool. This is gonna go my way. Don't worry about who that other guy was that got killed. It's literally not important.
This game is making me choose between my two mortal enemies, prosecutors and the police. It's very sad.
Yeah, it's fucked. Uh-huh. I do think it's very funny that, what's his name's has a, like a little lock of hair that looks like a lightning bolt, and when he's in his oh no I'm fucked animation, it looks like he's getting struck by lightning.
You think the character designers on this were like chuckling at themselves constantly as they were making the sprites?
Yes, they were having a great 100%. Time.
100%. Do you think they were saying they're being like,
this is a game about law, and it's also a game about
and
puns.
These are their stories.
Yeah, it's about puns and character design. Because they're all really good.
They understand that anyone ever watches like things like Judge Judy for seeing a guy who looks weird.
Exactly. No, but we love Gant, and we love his prolonged stare when Edgeworth tries to, like, you know, say something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the INTJ stare.
Yeah,
yes.
he always, really does have the INTJ stare.
He always takes just, like, a little too long to respond to things, and you're like,
It's really funny.
Yeah, he's a cop. He's trying to do those prolonged silences to make you say something.
Yeah, he's me playing on your uncomfortability with long silences. Joke's on him. I don't like talking anyway. I'll just fall asleep with my eyes open.
Yeah. I didn't talk about how the big titty cop, the big titty lunchbox lady, as she is in my notes, is also known as the cough up queen. That never, gets explained.
Yes, it does.
What's there to explain about it?
She's the cough up queen.
What's there to explain? She's the cough up queen.
Or maybe they do, but it was so, like, nothing that I just forgot about it, but, like, I kept waiting.
What's there to explain about it? She's the cough up queen.
It comes way later, but she was talking about like how she was when she was a detective and how, you know, she would always find such good evidence that, you know, that she would always get confessions, like, you know, she would make them cough it up, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's a cough up queen. What's there to explain? Everyone knows this. She make you cough up.
She make them cough it up.
She make you cough it up. She cough on your up.
It's very, because it's one thing when, like, you say that as a, like, in the detective context. Like, I probably could have guessed that or put it together, but I didn't remember seeing it. But when she's, like, the bento box lady, that's not a great nickname to have.
Yeah, no, they
well, if you go on her bad side, you're going to be coughing up.
Like,
she's gonna make you cough up.
Yeah. So...
No, I'm pretty sure Phoenix does have a little line of, like, oh, so it doesn't have to do with food poisoning.
Yeah.
He's so fucking funny.
There it is.
Okay. Once again, Phoenix is the kind of guy who's, like, always so slightly nice and seems benevolent that every time he says something really mean to you, you don't fully realize it. Mm-hmm. You just kind of feel like it's, like, maybe an inappropriate statement and not him being malicious.
Yeah, exactly.
Surely that couldn't have been real. Surely you couldn't have just dragged me to within an inch of my life with one statement and a slight smile.
Surely that's not what
you just did to me.
Goddamn mouth.
Surely you didn't just kill me dead right here, right now.
So this scene's fun because it's Gant going, what do you mean you didn't have this evidence? We sent over the worst cop we have with the evidence for you to look at. Why did you not take it from him and see that the file, even though it had a different, you know, it didn't have to do with Lana, it had to do with the victim. So what were you doing, you shitty little idiot? This is apparently the worst offense. As a prosecuting attorney,
yes,
is not looking at all the evidence. Because, of course, that becomes relevant. It is the whole point of this case. But this part, like, the trial gets dismissed for the day, and the judge is like, he's like, I have never seen an error this grave in the history of this courtroom. I hope your punishment is not decisive for your sake. Like, Miles is in big-ass trouble.
Yeah, Miles is going to be executed summarily in the streets. He is looking, much like the kings of France, he is about to be brought before the executioner's blade.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
But in this case, it's going to be the executioner's blade of being very bad at his job.
I have a silly side note to throw in here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the floor is yours.
Yeah, you know how Phoenix Wright is always, like, has, like, internal dialogue?
Yes.
This game implies that he's muttering to himself. Like, this specific case, Emma's always, like, saying shit about the things that are in, like, the blue parentheses text, which makes me go, like, she's either a mind reader, or he's saying all this shit out loud all the time.
Why do you not assume she's just reading the blue text?
He has Keiichi disease.
She does have those special glasses.
Yeah.
He has Keiichi disease. She's just reading. Anytime he thinks he's thinking to himself, he's actually just saying it out loud.
Oh, he does have Keiichi disease.
I would love that. Because it does, it adds a really extra, because some of the shit he says is really bitchy. I just want to know if he's saying it out loud or not. I want to know if he's the guy with, like, this big smug smile all the time, who's just, like, as soon as he turns away, he's just audibly muttering about you as he walks away.
Do you think if you ever get assigned, like, court, or, like, you're sent to, like, this court, for a crime or anything, you're looking at the guy who is known to mutter every single one of his internal thoughts to himself all the time, and he thinks no one can hear him, and also your prosecutor is Miles fucking Edgeworth, Mr. Wrestling Heel himself, and you're just like, bro, I'm, like, probably fine, but I'm so cooked. You're like, you know you're probably going to get off because, like, Miles Edgeworth is never going to let his boyfriend, like, actually,
lose a case.
Yeah, lose a case. Mm-hmm. But also you're like, this is going to be, like, an annoying fucking case.
Yeah, I feel like I'd
have... Like, I'm so cooked.
I feel like I'd have a better chance in a Phoenix Wright courtroom than in, like, the actual criminal justice system. So, you know, at least there's that.
Yeah, like, I know I'll probably be going home fine, but also, those few weeks are going to be annoying as hell.
It's 3 days.
It's only three days. I'm just going to be sitting there like, goddamn.
They only have 3 days. I mean, it would be, like, you know,
and they had 3 days.
You're in there. There is a lot of tension in that room. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, you're not even saying that much. You just, like, say your thing, and then they just go, objection, 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 and they're, like, slamming on the table and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're just fucking sitting there like, oh my god, shut up.
Like, are you allowed to bring popcorn into that?
You are not, but you are allowed to bring a box of one of those assorted chocolates, and you're allowed to sit there and eat and comment on the flavor of each chocolate.
Each one.
And go, ooh, nougat.
Or trail mix.
No, you have to bring that during the interrogation.
That's right. When you're in the police room, you have to bring trail mix out of every pocket.
Yeah, but it's not, like, you know, the good kind with the M&Ms. It's the dry, raisiny kind.
Sorry for quoting Documentary Now.
No one remembers Documentary Now.
It's yeah, find it. Tragic. Go watch it.
It's not on Netflix anymore, so I don't think you can find it.
Well, who are we talking to?
It's just us. It's, no one remembers it. Sorry, Emery, for what just happened between us. It was a dark moment.
That's right. Okay. So, this is, again, this is the fun part where instead of trying to, like, connect with a spirit medium or whatever, we're actually going to, like, go to the crime scene and spray around for blood stains.
Ugh.
And we're gonna, like, later on we're gonna check for fingerprints and stuff. But no, Emma Skye just, like, has Luminol and is just like, yeah, I ordered this online and it came in a little spray bottle, so we're gonna use it at this crime scene. So that's cool. We're going around to the crime scene. We're gonna do that. Angel is there again, and she says, you know, you guys kind of put me in a tight spot, but don't apologize. It's my fault. And Emma's like, yeah, like, I'm aware. and so this is where we get some more, so we get some background information on the other case that's going to be relevant. This is a lot like the last case where, you know, it's old grudges coming back. But we have this case mentioned, SL9, where Bruce Goodman is the lead detective. Bruce Goodman is the guy that got killed, and our crime scene was discovered as Lana with him in the back of Miles Edgeworth's car. And we find out that what this case was there was a serial killer, and evidence was fabricated to have him executed. And then after that happened, everyone who worked on the crime scene or who worked on it at all was either, like, demoted or moved out of the office or fired or whatever. So there's this little officer. His name is Meekins. He did show up when we met Edgeworth in, like, the first episode or the first little bit there, to bring the evidence that was that Miles got in trouble for not having. Now he's under arrest for the murder of Bruce Goodman. So we're going to go visit him in jail. Figure that out.
This is the most
kind of a little sad guy.
This is the most comedy man of all time. He's got, like, lanky string bean proportions, but with, like, a giant head. And he's just drawn like 30% more Looney Tunes than the rest of the cast.
Exactly. He's got like a big megaphone, and his big like bit is that it's always like he keeps talking into it so it buzzes, and like it's just he's very loud to be around. Uh-huh. Is the gist.
Could you imagine being anyone in this universe?
When I read his dialogue, I imagine it in like a cartoon dog voice. I think he sounds a little something like this.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yep.
So we're on our way to the police, like to the the victim room to go see Bruce Good or to see Meekins. And Gant is there, and he's like, oh, hey, Phoenix Wright, remember that time you fixed it so Von Karma lost and had his reputation destroyed?
I do remember that, yes. Why'd you bring it up?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And I'll do it again.
Yeah, so this guy's got some beef.
I'll tell him I'm a vegetarian.
I'm fucking scared of him. Wright asks to investigate the evidence room, since that was, like, you know, a crime that happened at the exact same time, apparently, as the other one. And Gant does stare at him for a whole minute before laughing and then going, yeah, go ahead.
Me too.
And we find out that the SL9 case was actually Edgeworth's first big case. So he was the prosecutor on that case.
Dun, 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 dun.
So also while we're in the evidence room, we run into Gumshoe, and he's we are looking at the log of people who went into the evidence room that day, and Gumshoe points out that Edgeworth was in the evidence room that day, and he knows this because he knows Edgeworth's evidence his ID number just by looking at the sheet.
Fellas,
there are several on there that he does not know, including one that is all sevens.
Fellas, fellas, do I even have to say it?
No.
I hope I don't.
Yeah, I don't think you do.
We love Dick Gumshoe and Miles Edgeworth's little side thing going on.
You don't have to.
I'm all for polyamory. I don't know if that's clear by listening to this podcast, but I just love their little, like, whatever is going on there is just beautiful. Anyway, we're spraying for blood. We find a bunch of blood stains. They'll be relevant later.
Surprise tools and such.
Yeah, all that. And then we go to Edgeworth's office to visit him. And he's getting tea delivered from a hotel. We know that because that busboy from, like, the very first case is, like, here at the police station. And he's bringing him tea. And then he's brooding about, he got an inquiry for not having the evidence. And he's like, oh, well, they're going to treat it as a communication error and not concealing evidence.
They're going to be mean to me.
Yeah, so they told me I got lucky this time. They're always telling me that. I hate them.
They're always holding me back.
Yeah.
He's kind of Anakin Skywalker in this a little bit.
He fucking is. He's saying that Gant is taking over this, investigation entirely, which means, of course, we know as the audience that Gant will be in charge of what he gives to Edgeworth. But Edgeworth is like, I'm not in charge of this investigation at all. To which I again ask, is that a prosecutor's job?
Yeah.
Is the prosecutor really supposed to be in charge of the investigation?
Yeah, you know, for fun. For fun and for profit.
Yeah, I just don't know about that.
It's fine.
So also, he does have a reason for being in the evidence room that day, and the reason is that Gant told him to go there and pick up something from a solved case and take it to his office. Not suspicious at all.
It's not.
Gant didn't explain his motives, but he's just not the type to explain his motives, you know? So it's all fine and probably normal. I'm not getting framed for anything. So
I don't know why I've made myself the Gant defender of this episode, but you know.
Listen, Gant sucks hard.
Is it because of that broad chest?
It is because of that broad chest. I am a sucker.
Broad chest and Catholic overtones.
Exactly.
What can we say?
What more could you want?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Miles Edgeworth is the king of being toyed with or outright framed and not knowing it. So this is where we find out more about the SL9, but from Miles. And Miles tells Wright, first of all, that he's the man who unlocked his darkest memory. We remember that from the last case. And that he had a feeling that he would be sharing this with him one day.
Uh-huh. Fellas.
This is, so to be clear, this is the case in which we learn that Edgeworth, this is very Edgeworth didn't shoot first. This is the case where we find out that the whole reason people talk about Edgeworth, like, forging evidence is because of this case. And that he had nothing to do with it. So he's actually just, like, a guy.
I mean, his lot in life is to be the world's most put-upon man.
Exactly.
Just everything he does, someone has looked at that guy and said, I'm going to ruin his life.
Because while I think I really, because, you know, playing the first game, going through, I really did enjoy the idea of Miles being like, yeah, I'll forge evidence. I don't give a fuck. And then meeting, like, Phoenix as a defense attorney and being like, maybe I can do this ethically. But I do gotta say, I'm very thrilled with the idea of Miles Edgeworth being, like, has never done anything wrong in his life. And everyone just assumes that he is out there doing all this dirty shit.
Yeah, he's, once again, everyone just hates him instinctually.
Everyone's like, damn, he's got to be up to something. And he's like, I'm literally
that guy's a fucker.
Literally just over here eating a salad, guys. But I am going to be a bitch about it.
I bet that guy is just a huge piece of shit.
Exactly.
I can't prove it, but I look at him and I get such huge piece of shit vibes.
He's just such a bitch that everyone just assumes that he's up to something.
That guy has to suck. He's
like, yeah, he's got that natural heel vibe. Like, what do you want? Of course I assume he's done something shady.
Exactly. It's so good. He's just a dude who the day he was born sucked big time.
Oh yeah, this baby's on some criminal shit for real.
Oh, yeah.
This baby, he's into some shady shit.
This baby sucks, and I can't wait to ruin his life. That's what everyone said.
So, Miles is a little annoyed about being shut out of today's case. So, he does give a Lana gave him a fingerprint kit, which he then passes on to Emma and is like, you know, I don't have any say in today's investigation, so do what you must.
Do with this what you will.
And then he says, Phoenix has an Edgeworth ... as he so often does, and he's like, no, don't thank me. Just take this big file of all the fingerprints that might be relevant to this case and just get out of here. So, there's that.
Once again, he can't let his boyfriend lose.
Exactly.
It would shatter him.
Yeah. So we find a fingerprint in the place. It's,
in the room where it's hidden.
In the room where it happened.
Yeah.
It's Jake Marshall, who I haven't brought up yet because he's not, like, super relevant even as the case goes forward, but he is kind of cool in that he's a cowboy guy.
I do love a cowboy guy.
Yeah, he is. I gotta say, I think that, I think the makers of this game know more about the, like, Hispanic Latino heritage of cowboyism than, like, the American people do.
Yeah, probably. They did their research. Everything in here is factually accurate.
I will just put that out there. So Jake Marshall's kind of cool. He's just, like, chilling with it. He kind of seems to be on the same side as Angel, where he was one of the people demoted in that case, but he's a patrolman rather than, like, outright getting fired. And so he's got something to do with it all, but he just kind of doesn't care about this whole law thing. He's like, I'm kind of an outlaw, and Phoenix is always in his head, like, then why are you a policeman? What's going on here?
Clearly, Phoenix has never talked to every single policeman around.
Exactly.
They all think that.
Yeah.
Fucking Punisher sticker ass motherfuckers.
Exactly.
My boss at work is not allowed to listen to this, by the way.
Just in case you're listening.
Just in case you made it this far, that was parody.
Yeah, that's right.
No one I've ever shared a workplace with is allowed to listen to any of my podcasts.
That's also true. Sometimes they're like, Devin, don't you have a podcast? And I'm just like, yeah. And once again, I won't tell you what it is.
It does exist.
It's out there. You're just not allowed to know about it.
It is out there. We go into the courtroom and Miles is like his smug little self. And Emma's like, wow, he really does make it look like he knows what's going on, even when he has no clue. That's so admirable. And Phoenix is like, is that an admirable trait? I think it is.
Yeah, it's part of being a wrestling heel.
Exactly. The showmanship.
It's part of, like, getting everyone to fucking hate your guts. Is to just sit there and be like, I know what's going on. Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm. So, funny little Meekins takes the stand. He's just a poor little lost lamb. As part of
he literally calls himself that.
He does. He says, like, I'm a poor little lost lamb. I'm a lost officer.
I'm going to start calling myself that. I'm going to call myself this poor little lost lamb of the podcast.
I am a poor little lost lamb.
Hi, I'm Devin, the poor little lost lamb of the podcast. New sorting game. Who's
the peach? Yeah, is he the peach, the onion, the fungus, or the poor little lost lamb? The
poor little lost lamb. I am specifically thinking of that one picture where it's like the like slightly poorly drawn lamb, but it's like covered in blood.
That's a poor little lost lamb.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm a poor little lost lamb.
Oh, me? Covered in blood.
After saying something heinous, I'm a poor little lost lamb.
That's right. So as part of his testimony, he reveals that Gant sent him evidence, like him to his jail cell rather than sending it to Edgeworth, the prosecuting attorney.
Just a sexy little secret for him.
Yeah. So we love that. It doesn't show any corruption on Gant's part whatsoever. So I think part of the reason that this case is, like, if you watch a walkthrough, it's 7.5 hours. And that is because
it's a normal thing to say.
That's because we have to watch this scene so many times when you're actually doing this case. This thing is ridiculous. But this is the snuff film Feet Blue Badger. And this is the scene where there's just a camera, like, panning across the evidence room, just back and forth. And the Blue Badger is in there doing his little dance. So there's, like, this music going. And as it's panning back and forth, you see, like, half clips of somebody getting attacked and slammed against the locker and presumably stabbed.
This is the video game that inspired the paranormal series of films, I have to assume.
Yeah, exactly.
It is like that thing in Paranormal Activity 3 where there's just that camera going back and forth, and then every so often it pans, you can see the ghost and the person doesn't notice them.
That's right.
Yeah, it's the, like, second paranormal movie where
that's
it's like
the third one.
Oh, I thought that was fucking, I don't remember.
The second one is at, no, I know the Paranormal Activity lore, don't you worry.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
The second one is where it's at the sister's house, and the big joke in that movie is that they get their maid, who is Catholic, to do an exorcism on their house, but all that does is just send the demon to her sister's house, which is the plot of Paranormal Activity 1.
That's so funny.
I mean, yeah, good for her.
And then she gets possessed and shows up at their house anyway and just kills the family with the demon in her body.
That's all right.
Yeah, and then the third one is the prequel, where we learn that the family was doomed anyway.
This is why no one goes to church anymore. Because
their grandma
was
in a death cult or whatever.
Because
their
grandma was in an evil witch cult, yes.
And sacrificed them, basically.
Yeah, that one rules because the shitty stepdad in that movie, who's not really shitty, he's just a guy who's like, wife, do you see the fuck shit happening from the cameras I put around our house? And she says, no, I don't see it. It's funny because at the end of it, he's like, he gets thrown against the wall by the demon. And he's like crawling against the floor. And then the grandma just kind of looks at him and breaks his back. But it's like in the funniest way possible. I can't describe it. He just goes pretzel mode for a second.
No, yeah, she fucking she
fucking
shit up.
She fucking annihilates him. A Thanos snap would probably be kinder than what she did to him. There's not a hint of queer bait in the Paranormal Activity movies, but I will find a way to weave them into this podcast.
Maybe the ghost is gay for...
Maybe the demon is gay.
Yeah. Maybe the demon is a woman and it's really gay for Casey or whatever her name is.
Yeah, trying to get her to break up with Mika.
Yeah, me too. I'm also trying to get her to break up with Mika. I'm not that gay for her, but like...
Get out of there, girl. He sucks.
He really sucks. Okay.
Yeah.
Fucking Ace Attorney.
Yep. So snuff film.
The judge says what we're all thinking, which is, how are we gonna move on with this court case while dealing with the dread that filled us all with?
Are we gonna move on in this court case if Devin keeps bringing up the Paranormal Activity series?
That's exactly right.
The fourth one has a plot-relevant Xbox Kinect.
That's so funny.
I don't know anything about the fifth one. This is where I stopped caring.
That's where you find.
This is where I finally lost interest.
Finally lost interest in the Paranormal Activity. So sad.
I know.
So sad that they kicked you off that bandwagon. Finally,
it's tragic. Fallen from the light.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Everyone in court is in hysterics because we revealed that Miles was in the evidence room.
We revealed the plot relevant Xbox Kinect.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Where they use it to see the ghost do a funny dance.
There's just a bunch of Edgeworth vamping in here. But basically we go into, part two of the trial, and we find out that Emma was also involved in these killings. The serial killer in question was Joe Dark. And
these are comic book names.
I know, they're so good.
Just, who could be the hero, Dark whatever? Might be Joe Dark. Nah, he's too mild-mannered.
So, basically, we go into this next case, like, this next thing, and Edgeworth is pissed off because everyone is against him. This is how he feels. Everyone, and they kind of are. Gant is, like, clearly just hiding shit from him about everything, including the case 2 years ago that is becoming more and more relevant. So Edgeworth just decides to start openly helping, right? So the whole, like, they're going back and forth in court, but he's really just like, yeah, no, I'm here to listen to what the defense has to say, actually. So we do prove that Lana forged evidence in the SL9 case. So that's messy. We find out more about the SL9 case, which is that, Joe Dark was in questioning and he ran into the office with the organ.
I hope he never figured out his stuff.
Huh?
You said he was questioning.
He was in questioning.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. No, he dies, like.
Oh, it's so tragic. He'll never figure out if he was gay or not.
I know. It's really sad. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's a good thing we're here.
that's what we'll do for him. Yeah. Beyond the grave.
That's right. So he, like, runs into the room where the big organ is, because that's where Emma's hanging out, because Lana used to be a cop, and so she, like, she's waiting for Lana. And he tries to, like, hold Emma hostage, and then, there's a big lightning strike and no one knows what happened. No one could possibly know. But when everyone comes to, Neil Marshall is dead, has been stabbed. And, they have proved it was Joe Dark, and that Joe Dark, was the serial killer and a whole bunch of other things. And so, like, he's successfully tied to it all and he gets executed. And that's that. Jake Marshall's whole thing was that he knew that there was falsified evidence that went in to using that. But he does have the revelation after that where we're going through this, where he's like, you know, Edgeworth isn't my enemy, even though he did use falsified evidence in court. Somebody had to give him that evidence. So that's the big back and forth for this next bit, is like, we're just basically learning about the SL9 incident and everybody has to tell their side of the story. this is also where we first go into Chief Gant's office for the first time. So for context, this is when we find out he has the big-ass fucking organ
in
there.
Yeah, holy shit.
He's walking in, he's just in there, and it's beautiful.
I would love, if I ever got, like, an office job, which I would never do because I would simply die, mm-hmm. I would love to put a giant fucking pipe organ
into
my office.
Imagine just, like, being on the bottom floor of that building, and just every time, every single day, you hear him going every crazy on that thing. It's just, like, you're just, like, several floors distance.
You're just, like, any time... You, like, imagine working somewhere, like, you're in an office nearby, and, like, every day you just hear, like, a fucking pipe organ going crazy, because those things are loud.
Yeah.
You just hear it go crazy, and you're like, where the fuck is that coming from?
You know that thing is just, like, vibrating the whole building.
Yeah, you're just kind of like, where is that coming from? You're like, who? The only building next to us is the police office.
There's no way.
It couldn't possibly be.
I just, like, I have to assume all the other officers fucking hate whenever Gant is, like, working on a case, because he'll, like, be like, you know what, time for a break. My brain needs some space.
Brood.
I'm gonna go over here and play on my very loud organ.
I love how all...
It's kind of like the...
I love how all the main villains in this series thus far are all extremely Dracula-coded.
Yeah, they're all vampires, first of all. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the ultimate culmination of whenever Sherlock gets into a puzzler, he just starts playing that fucking... is it violin?
Yes, it's a violin for him.
His fucking violin really obnoxiously... but instead, it's like if he sat down at a pipe organ.
At a very loud pipe organ.
At a very loud pipe organ and started going crazy. I think that's what Radigan would do, actually.
Yeah.
I gotta also say that Emma says she took organ lessons as a baby, which I assume is just, like, you know, means a child.
No, baby.
But also, even as, like, a pretty, like... Organs have foot pedals.
Yes, they do.
You have to be able to reach the foot pedals to learn how to play organ. Like, it's not negotiable. Like, you have to be a little bit tall to play the organ.
That's what stilts are for.
Yes, my specialty organ stilts.
Yep.
I mean, I guess you could. I don't know.
I know, it's
Emma
true.
Seems pretty determined, so perhaps.
With the power of determination.
That's right. So...
This says...
Gumshoe is so gay for Edgeworth that they keep kicking him out of the investigations. I think this is the point where they tell him he's, like, in charge of something, but when you ask what he's in charge of, he's like, nothing, because everyone else is doing the other case.
So. Yeah, it's in charge of being gay for Miles Edgeworth.
I'm in charge of being gay for Miles Edgeworth.
For being super gay.
That's right.
That's what he tells everyone.
Yeah, for being the only one who doesn't want to, like, throw him onto a table.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, he wants to throw him onto a table,
well,
but, like, maybe not that way.
Well!
Come on, you set me up for that one.
I did.
Yeah, everyone in the police department does want to throw Edgeworth onto a table. Dick Gumshoe, however.
Once again, everyone wants to throw him onto a table. Malicious. Dick Gumshoe wants to throw him onto a table. Sexual.
That's right. So, we go to visit Edgeworth, and he's being edgy. Wright notes that he's doing what he always does by hiding his true feelings. And Edgeworth says, it seems like all you do is worry about me. To be honest, it's kind of getting on my nerves.
I say, as a normal person.
Mm-hmm. So Edgeworth is writing a letter of resignation when we come in, because everyone's making fun of him.
He's such a fucking loser.
Yeah.
Everyone's being mean to me. Okay, man.
We also find out the story behind the award that he got for being the king of the prosecutors, which is a story about contradictions. It's about a guy who's selling a halberd and a shield, and he says the halberd can cut any shield, and the shield can... bear
any
sword. Yeah, yeah, can block any halberd. And it's like, but wait a minute, there's a contradiction. And the seller's like, ah, resigned.
Guess you don't want the fucking sword then, dude.
So we have then the question is posed, why is your award just a broken shield? There's no halberd, there's no knife or anything. It's just the shield. That's a little silly. Wonder why Gant changed the design 2 years ago. Couldn't have anything to do with that darn old SL9 case we keep hearing about.
It's fucking crazy.
It would be crazy if that was going on. So then, the way that, so we go into, Gant's office earlier to check out the crime scene that we know it was now because of the SL9 incident. Gant is there and he ushers us out. We need to let Gumshoe get us into the office. And the way that we do that is by showing him Edgeworth's letter of resignation and saying, like, look, it's really serious. If we don't, if we don't do something about this, Edgeworth's gonna leave. And Gumshoe's like, damn it, I will get you in there. So in we go.
In they go.
In we go.
Just the dumbass brigade just walking in.
Yeah. We go in and then we look at some pictures and then we open Gant's safe by guessing that the combination is 7 7s in a row. Mm-hmm. Because that was the last, the unknown evidence room login. And surprise, surprise, he did go into the evidence room that day. And this is his safe. And it contains a piece of cloth with Emma's fingerprints on it and a piece of jar.
I love anytime things like this happen in, like, detective stories where the person's like, and I kept the evidence for 20 years. And the question is, why?
Why?
Why'd you do that?
Mm-hmm. For blackmail. What?
Fucking burn it. Blow it up. Take a picture of it and then say, tell people you have it.
He's got to keep it. It's for blackmail.
Well, take a picture of it and tell people you have it. They don't actually need to know that you have it.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you just want to get...
All that should have been in that safe is just a note that says, I owe you evidence.
But what if you actually want to get a kid arrested, you know?
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's just in true. Case. Yeah.
You know what? You know, I guess I'm not... This is why I'm not the evil spy master.
This is why you're not a criminal mastermind with an organ and a big cross on your chest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can't all have this kind of drama.
You know, I wish to one day be, though.
So, we go into the trial the next day.
We're back in the room where it happened.
We're back in the room where it's happening. Edgeworth is like, okay, I'll hear you out on let's figure out what happened in that SL9 case. We'll figure it out right here today in court because that is how court proceedings work. Then Gant shows up and he says, actually, my friend here, my good friend here, Lana Skye, the murderer, has already confessed and would like to confess again and end the trial. Is that cool?
That's not cool, actually.
And yeah, Edgeworth says, no, that's not cool. I don't care if she confessed. We're going to hear the truth. No matter how tragic the truth may be, the real tragedy is to avert our eyes to it. That's what he says. That's why he doesn't give a fuck if the defendant already confessed.
Yeah.
So, there we're going. So, Edgeworth, I think this is the trial. It might be the next one. I didn't write it down, but there's a point in here where Edgeworth literally is like, well, since everyone here hates me, why don't we just let Wright pick the defendants? In this case.
Dun, dun, dun.
He'll call all the witnesses. Then nobody will... I won't have had the opportunity to talk to any of them. And I'm like, okay, listen. Here's the thing.
He's so in his fucking feelings. It's so funny.
He's so gay for Phoenix, first of all. Second of all, it's so clear that the prosecutor and defense attorney are, like, working together for a specific outcome of this case, which is also corrupt. Uh-huh. I don't know if anyone's, like,
Oh, no, this is corruption all the way down. It's very funny.
Yeah, this is...
It's very good.
This is how you do lawyers. The defense and prosecutor shouldn't be teaming up unless...
Once again, this is about where I would be sitting there being like, I'm so fucking cooked. Like I'm fucking doomed. They just fucking fist bumped and then made dinner plans after this. What is happening?
Yeah.
That's right. I'm fucking screwed, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like... Yeah, they're fucking charging up they're both charging up a Kamehameha. Like, I'm roasted, dude. I'm washed.
Yeah, I'm ethered already. I can fucking tell.
Mm-hmm. Goku and Vegeta aren't supposed to team up. What the fuck?
They aren't supposed to do this at the same time. They're at most supposed to help each other, but in an antagonistic way. This is fucked.
Yeah. Well, it's a little antagonistic.
Well, you know.
So, we call Emma to the stand since she was the witness in the
Are we ever going to do Goku and Vegeta on this God. Podcast?
I'm sure we'll get there.
Dragon Ball is so long.
I know. I just realized that.
How would we, I mean, we could cover, like, you know, a specific section and just be like, just assume this continues.
Just assume they keep doing this shit forever. Which they do.
Yeah. Okay, so this is where Emma takes the scan because she was the witness in the SL9 case, and so we're trying to make a connection between the two. And she says that she drew a picture of the moment of the crime that was illuminated by lightning, and Miles Edgeworth is like, well, I didn't see a drawing, and Phoenix is like, how could you deny the evidence of this beautiful child you see before you? How could you be so evil, Mr. Edgeworth? And he's like, but it's not on my list of evidence. It's not here. And he actually says, hey, I'm not the bad guy here.
I'm not the bad guy.
I'm not the bad guy.
We the bad guys.
Clearly he is.
Edgeworth's putting his whole entire ass on the line for Phoenix right now in this moment, and Gant has, like, literally threatened his job in this courtroom because of his actions being like, no, like, Wright can take over this case, it's fine.
Yeah, but he's too much of a huge fucking idiot to realize what's happening.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's like.
Wright is still gonna call him a little bitch, and Edgeworth is still gonna go, but wait a minute. So Edgeworth is once again distraught that evidence was hidden from him in the last one. And then we basically put two pictures. Emma drew a picture on the back of the Evans list, and it was torn in half, and half of it was given to Edgeworth. And so that has a specific picture on the back, and the other one has another part of the picture on the back. The part that Miles Edgeworth has happens to be the blue badger, but if you turn it sideways, it's a jar. These are things we have to prove in this fucking court case.
I love this fucking court. Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
The amount of just, like, trivial details that have to be examined in, like, agonizing fucking detail in order for it all to come together.
Yeah.
You know someone is just like, man, I fucking hate it here. Like, I can't fucking stand this place. I can't stand these fucking people. I can't stand this place.
Oh, no.
Now let me out of here.
Oh, now we're looking at a square of cloth for the 45th time.
Exactly.
Wow. I wonder what new facts this is going to bring to light.
Mm-hmm.
Me, like, crushing... I'm, like, also crushing, like, a coffee can in my hand. But it's not, like, out of any sense of, like... Oh my god, they're really... I'm so mad at Miles Edgeworth. It's just kind of like, if I have to see that fucking cloth one more time, I'm gonna fucking lose it.
I'm gonna fucking lose my mind.
Could you imagine being called to jury duty for one of these?
Good thing.
You're like, the fucking prosecutor and the defendant are clearly fucking...
Not even once.
Good thing.
Like, they're clearly fucking and they're subjecting me to whatever this is between them.
Good thing they don't
have... I don't fucking want to be here, dude.
Good thing they don't have juries in this justice system.
That's true.
That's true. We just have the judge, and I wouldn't want to be him either.
I don't know. Maybe the judge is having a great time.
I think he is. His hand out of his goddamn mind.
Maybe this is like... Maybe when he realizes Miles Edgeworth and Phoenix Wright are going to be on a case, he's like, oh my god, this is going to be so fucking funny.
The judge has popcorn.
The judge is sitting there with a bowl of popcorn. Like,
that's why he was so thrilled when Angel Star brought him snacks.
Yeah, he's like, dance. Dance, you little creatures, dance.
That's right. Edgeworth has the same lines back at Wright for being like, how dare you question that she saw the blue badger.
How dare you, night. Detective how Diaz. How
fucking dare you. And Edgeworth says, I'm not the bad guy here. So we have that little cute parallel back and forth. So Gant and Edgeworth are in trouble with each other. And then several times in this, someone says something about like, oh, what if Edgeworth fucked with the evidence in the case last time? And then like the audience is like shaking their head and going, what a terrible man. I hate that scary man so much. He's so stinky and I hate him. And then the judge has to like declare a recess so it fades to black. Like, what I have in my notes is recess is declared because everyone hates Edgeworth's pussy so much.
Everyone fucking hates this guy so much that the judges be like, can you guys please be professional for like 2 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
No, they can't. The answer is no, they can't at all.
That's very true.
Not in this courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
In my courtroom? Absolutely not.
Okay. So...
yeah.
We're going back in.
We're in this.
We're going back in. Gumshoe, like, Miles and Edgeworth are talking and, like, or,
Yeah, I was,
You know, I'm sorry for calling. I, like, after editing our last episode, I called Wright Edgeworth so many times.
Yep.
And I'd like to apologize to our listeners and tell you all that it will happen again. I'm sure I've already done it so far, but... right?
Once again, the listeners are here to listen to us be very bad at our jobs. It's why they tune into, once again, any episode helmed by me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Wright and Edgeworth are talking, and they are like, Wright is checking in with Edgeworth. He's like, are you okay? Because they all hate you in there, and Edgeworth is like, I'm fine. It's all good. Gumshoe shows up and is like, am I interrupting something? And they're both like, yeah. And he's like, oh, shit, okay, I'll leave. And he looks very sad. But then they call him back and ask what he needed. And apparently Lana sent a book of on evidence law over to Phoenix Wright, which is just the sickest burn, I think. But
I mean, yeah, sometimes you got to realize that your friend actually just lied on his resume and does not know how to do his job at all.
I'm not sure he did pass the bar exam.
He just lied on the resume. And he's once again such a nice, sweet boy that no one thought to check.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he does seem like, yeah, less that he lied and said he took the bar exam, more like he went to, like, the first day of law school.
He did take the bar exam, but like, he did fail it completely, but no one's going to check on to see if that's true.
Yeah, it's like he failed it entirely, but they still, like, sent him, like, a scholarship and got accepted, so he just showed up and didn't know anything, and they were just like, yeah, this is fine. And then he was like, it's like Michael Cera turning into an actor style, like he was too embarrassed to say anything to anyone.
Yeah, no one so stopped
him.
So he's
just like, all right, no one guess I'll do it.
No one said, sweetie, you need to go home.
So they're like, you know, are you really going to take on Gant? He's, like, very scary and very powerful. And he, Wright looks back at Edgeworth and is like, too many people have been hurt by this case. Gotta do it. So the judge does say that this is where this happens. The judge says he can't trust that any of the witnesses haven't been tampered with by Edgeworth because everyone hates Edgeworth's pussy so much. So Edgeworth is like, no, that's fine. How about Wright calls all the witnesses now? That should be fine, right?
Yeah. We're both lawyers. It's normal.
It's yeah, fine.
I think it'll work in this case. And they're all like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not detecting any lies.
He's...
yeah. Yep.
It's very sad. Miles is getting career cooked so hard for this. So we call Gant to the stand because he's the real murderer. Miles and Wright are working together, clearly very corrupt, but they're doing this. So we do basically solve this case because Phoenix broke and entered into Gant's office. And so from that, we know that his ID number is 777-7777.
Man's consistent.
Man's loves using important numbers as passwords.
Yeah, he used his police ID, which is somehow 777-7777. He used that also to be his safe number.
You know he requested that number, like, specially for his ID.
I also, once again, gotta say, you don't get to be the guy who gets to have an entire organ in your office without being able to demand whatever number you want for yourself.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. So, we have Gant on the stand, and he's looking really super guilty, and then he says, you know what? I'm chief of police, so I'm allowed to refuse to testify, so I'm going to do that.
I can do whatever the fuck I want.
I'm going to just do that now. So then we're all just kind of standing around with our dicks in our hands looking at each other, and then Edgeworth is like, right, do something. Like, you're in charge here. Like, I already told you, you get to call the witnesses. You have to fucking save this somehow. So we call Lana to the stand, and Gant re-enters the room to say, hey, Lana, just, you know, this is not a threat or anything, but, if you testify, like, you know, don't watch what you say, there will be severe consequences to you and to your sister. So bye!
Just, once again, piping in, as the police chief and as a very normal guy, I would just like to tell you, if you say the wrong thing, I will literally destroy you. Anyways, bye.
Yep. So that's Gant. So that's going to be, I guess, the next day. Everyone's kind of chilling and they're talking. They're talking about Lana testifying. Edgeworth has the insight that, you know, after that case, like, Lana really shut herself down deep inside. It was almost like a trauma. Like, she had to follow Gant's orders, so she shut herself up deep inside. I wonder who else that sounds like in this game, in this series. Who else could have shut themselves up deep inside after a trauma?
That's right, Gumshoe.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not detecting any parallels between this and the last case we covered.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, there's no similarities. There's nothing at all.
Because that case wasn't about Gumshoe.
That's right. Right, you know, Lana's on the stand, right, keeps finding all these contradictions, and Edgeworth is like, okay, Lana, listen, you don't even know what you're covering up, so just tell us the truth, and all three of us together, we're gonna work as a team, and we're gonna figure this out. So, as they're going through, it turns out that giving Wright a book on evidence law was not just a sick burn. She did take a photo of the crime scene as she found it, in the SL9 and, like, tucked it into the book. So he does have that.
But it was mostly a sick burn.
As this is going on, Gant comes back and is like, yo, if you're still talking about me, I guess I'm gonna get myself back up on the stand. And Miles very smugly informs him that he's no longer allowed to testify because he invoked his right not to testify. And then he says, sit back, relax, and enjoy the feeling of the noose tightening around your neck.
Damn,
got him. Oh my god. This actual crime is so convoluted, first of all.
Incredibly so.
So the SL9 case, what actually happened there...
is the funniest shit you've ever seen.
Is the funniest shit you've ever seen. So, Joe Dark ran into that room.
Yeah.
And, they were fighting over a knife. One of them got knocked over. Emma passed out. I actually think both Joe Dark and Neil Marshall, who was the other... Neil Marshall is Jake's brother. That's the guy who Joe Dark supposedly killed in this case. What actually happened was while they were fighting, Gant arrived on the scene first before Lana did, put Neil Marshall, like, picked him up and put him on a, like, there was a knight statue with a halberd, and he just, like, lifted up his body and put it on there.
Yep.
And then, first of all, cut off the piece of cloth. That was what was in the safe.
Yep.
That was incriminating, potentially, that Emma was the killer. And then wrote the name Emma in blood on a jar and then broke it.
Yep.
And then left the room
so
that Lana could come in and think that her sister killed Neil Marshall, therefore putting Lana in the pocket of Gant.
It's the funniest thing on the planet. It's...
Why did he do that?
Because then Lana comes in and starts picking up all the pieces of this jar and wiping the blood off of them and stuff. But like, it all just works together in this beautiful tapestry.
This is...
And that's the 2 years ago case. We haven't even figured out what happened in the case that they are currently investigating.
I was going to say something that might have been a bit insulting.
Sure, go ahead.
I was going to say this is like, it sounds like a BBC Sherlock plot where none of the shit makes sense at all. And then he's like, no, it's quite simple. You don't understand. And he goes through and you're like, that's so fucking stupid. He should have just shot him.
Again, yeah, these are definitely fun mysteries to solve. And then when you get to the finished puzzle, you're like, now, wait a minute.
Why didn't you just shoot him?
Why would he do that?
Why'd you do that?
Why would he do those things in that order? Other than to set up this fun mystery I'm solving right now.
Maybe that's what it is. This is a world where everyone is just trying to indulge Phoenix Wright.
That's true. He's America's again, special little boy.
Or, once again, trying to ruin Miles Edgeworth's life.
Those are the two genders. Trying to please Phoenix Wright and trying to annoy Miles Edgeworth.
Yeah, it's like the Truman Show, but instead of, like, everyone just watching his wacky life, it's the Truman Show, but everyone is actively, like, calling it on their cell phones, being like, frame him for yet a different murder.
That's right.
I want you to make it so a case he is directly involved in is mired in controversy. Thank you.
That's exactly right.
Put a body in his trunk.
Put a body in his fucking... Vote now on your phones. Should it be A, in his trunk, B, in his locker, or C, in his cup of coffee? Vote now on your phones.
That's right. Okay. So, first of all, Wright pops huge about catching Gant with evidence law. He had to be told 2 times and given a book about in this case.
It's so funny.
It's hilarious. So
me when I do something right at work.
Exactly. So he's extremely smug. He's able to prove that what happened in this case, the current one, is that Gant was in the evidence room with Bruce Goodman, and Bruce Goodman was like, hey... you know that case from 2 years ago? Jake Marshall was asking about it. I should give him that evidence so he can look it over before it goes through evidence transferal. And Gant just kills him. And then it's like, well, shit. Now what am I supposed to do? So he... he gets the body into Miles Edgeworth's car. And then he says, hey, Edgeworth, can you... go into the evidence room and grab something and then take it in your car over to your office and store it there for me. Thank you. And then when he gets there, he calls Lana and says, hey, Lana, there's a body in the trunk of Miles Edgeworth's car. I need you to go get it and dispose of it for me. And then while she's doing that, Angel Starr took a picture of her. And that's why she is in trouble for this case. And yeah, that's the case.
Yep.
Gant is on the stand and, you know, says all this. And then he says, you know, Edgeworth, you and me, we're the same. You know, one day you're going to be me and you're going to be forging evidence to get a serial killer, you know, executed and, you know, have a bunch of puppets under you running around. You're exactly like me. We're the same.
One day you're gonna have a big safe with a shard of blackmail vase in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could only hope.
One day.
One day you're going to be playing that big pipe organ.
That's right. So, trial ends. We're all celebrating. Except for Edgeworth. Like, Lana literally has to go, hey, are you happy too? Miles off in the corner. And they, like, drag him over to them. And he's like, well, it's too late for me. Gant was right. I'm corrupted.
I'm already going to play the pipe organ. I'm going to do it right now.
I'm so corruptible and corrupted. I've never forged evidence in my life, but he's right. It could happen.
But what if I do? I could do it.
One day I'm going to. And Lana says that because of Phoenix and Miles' partnership, we were able to find evidence that otherwise would not have come about. And to prove that, we have to show Miles Edgeworth the picture that Emma Skye drew that Gant tore in half and gave half of it to Miles 2 years ago. And then we found the other half in this case. And that is the beautiful symbol of the partnership between Miles Edgeworth and Phoenix Wright, attorneys at law.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's beautiful.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, and Edgeworth is edgy about it, and he's like, you know, I gotta go. And Phoenix ends with, I'll be waiting for you in court. Which, I'll see you in court is such a beautiful divorce thing to say to somebody. I'll be waiting for you in court is very special.
Yeah, it's weird that they name their house court, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You could just say I'll be waiting for you at home, but you can also say court. That's fine, too.
That's right.
Do you think these freaks are the kind of freaks that if they shared a house, it would have, like, a full court in it? Witness stand, no. judges stand, everything.
I think it would have to be because
they would sleep. Like, it's kind of like in the 1950s where the husband and wife would, like, sleep in separate beds, but they're sleeping in separate beds, and it's literally, like, the prosecutor's table and the defendant's table.
Yes, I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, I feel like they, do have, you know how, sometimes lawyers
will say, a teddy bear is the judge.
Yeah. The judge is there, obviously.
Yep, the judge is also, the judge, tucks them in.
Gives them a little kissy.
Yeah.
You know how, like, some lawyers are like, yeah, I can't, like, I don't argue with my wife because there are no rules in our kitchen. I can only argue in court. I feel like every time Phoenix and Miles get into an argument when they're living together, they, like, they have to go down to their basement, which is set up as a courtroom. Yeah, no, they're like, nope, save it for court. And then they have to go down to the little courtroom in their basement and call the judge, and he has to come down, and then they have to, like, argue it out right there.
Date nights must be fucking crazy.
Insane. Is all I'm saying.
Every time they want to do a date night, they take 3 days off so they can recreate an entire court case.
Yeah, you need 3 days for the trial.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Get a bunch of people to take the witness stand. Have the judge there. Gumshoe is also there.
Everyone in the audience is going, boo, Edgeworth, we hate you.
We hate your pussy.
And that's beautiful.
And you know what? I think that's beautiful.
I think it's beautiful.
Hey, we want to rank this shit.
Yeah, I think we should fucking
rank this. Let's rank it.
Mm-hmm. Let's rank this. Hey, can I be controversial? I know we're here for Miles Edgeworth and Phoenix Wright and their gay adventures. Uh-huh. I would say this time had a lot more Gumshoe and Edgeworth.
Oh, yeah. I kind of did feel the same.
Yeah, this had a lot of Gumshoe being like, I'm sorry, I'm too gay to be involved on this case about my boyfriend.
It's so good they keep kicking him off the case because they know he's too gay for Edgeworth.
Sorry, I'm gonna forge evidence myself, I'm too gay for this.
So funny. Everyone around is like, no, you can't be here. We're trying to get Miles Edgeworth fired and you like him.
Everyone around keeps looking at him and just saying F slur over and over again. It's so tragic.
This is why Gumshoe was like, right, you need to get your head out of those fluffy pink clouds.
Which is what I also call Miles Edgeworth. Which is also what I call my house.
I do think there is some good ship content for, like, Dick Gumshoe and Miles Edgeworth here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fluffy pink clouds are like the fiberglass insulation where Gumshoe is just living in their attic.
You gotta get your head out of the attic of which I live.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
The fluffy pink clouds are actually what he calls his unshaven...
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, I'll let you figure out what I was going with there.
Are they pink?
Yes.
Do you think he has pink hair naturally
because it's an anime and he dyes it black?
That's peak, I gotta say. The idea that Dick Gumshoe has pink hair all over, like his body hair is all pink,
it's
and
all
he dyes
pink.
The hair on his head black, his head only.
He's emo.
Do you think he dyes like the tip of his chest too? So sometimes he can like wear like a low cut shirt without feeling a little weird about his unique body hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think that's beautiful.
Yes.
Okay.
No hetero.
No hetero.
No hetero.
It's not very.
It's not hetero.
It's not very hetero at
it's
all.
It's not very hetero. These people have a particular mental illness, and that mental illness is called being gay, so...
Yeah.
There is not a hint of a woman to steal them away from each other. In fact, the one woman who was mildly more involved in the last case had to go do psychic training, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They said, we need to get you out of here before people start doing implications.
Oh, I mean, she'll be back.
Yeah.
But, you know.
They had to remove her for a while, though.
Yeah. This one we needed to really focus in.
We gotta focus in. No hetero, I would like to put at a 4. Or a 5.
4 sounds about right to me.
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, there's no, you know, no gay marriage, but...
Yeah. I wish there was gay marriage.
No gay marriage or gay divorce, but...
Yeah, you get the sense that these two wouldn't, like, actually want to go on a date. They do just want to face each other in court.
That is their date.
Yeah.
That is their date, yeah.
That's how they catch up.
Yeah.
Gumshoe
is their support third.
Yep. No! Homo!
Pretty low.
Yeah. Once again. Not a woman in sight.
Yeah. Angel Star is here and nobody is even looking at her. I don't even think there's that. Oh, there
is. No one
is
looking at her big breasticles or her bento boxes.
There's some good quality jokes about her having like 3, 4, 5 boyfriends in the police department. Her 3 weed smoking boyfriends.
Do they smoke weed?
Yeah, it's called a bund.
And are they her boyfriends?
Yeah, they're her boyfriends and they smoke weed.
Oh.
And they all smoke
weed. All 3 of them?
All 3 of them smoke that weed. They smoke the weed cigarette. It's called Bunt.
Yep.
No, but yeah, like, that's the joke, though, is that she's just dating everybody in the police department. It's not everybody in this courtroom wants to date her. It's everybody in the police department is getting cucked.
She also knows about non-monogamy.
That's right. That is our introduction into...
Whatever maybe, Miles Edgeworth Gumshoe and Phoenix Wright have
maybe
got
that's
going
our
on.
Coding. That's like, no, Angel Starr can have a lot of boyfriends, so why can't Miles Edgeworth also have 2 boyfriends?
2 boyfriends whom he hates.
That's right. Yeah, like, I don't know. 1, 2?
Yeah, I'm thinking of 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not interested.
That's right. Okay, no Romo.
They can't date.
They can't.
Yeah. They can't do it. They can't. Maybe Gumshoe could date Edgeworth, but I don't think that's also possible. I don't think Edgeworth can feel romantic attachment to anyone.
Yeah,
he
I
only
think
processes
up,
emotion through court cases.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think teaming up to bully a witness is the most emotional intimacy they can have.
Exactly. They always need that someone to process their feelings through.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm putting that at like a 4 or 5. They can't date. They can't. This isn't even like they're trying to hurt each other. They don't know what it is.
Yeah, they're not like toxic. They're just like.
They just can't do it.
Miles Edgeworth is just so up his own ass that he can't do anything else other than be a prosecuting attorney.
He's just built different.
I would say maybe a 4 feels right.
Yeah, I can't do anything except being a wrestling heel.
Mm-hmm.
That puts us at a 9. Very respectable.
Very good score.
That might have been what it got last time.
I don't remember. We'll have to
consult. Like, different scores, but I think it was a 9. I kind of want to get to the end and see, like, you know, test our rating a little bit.
Our rating system is once again perfect.
It is flawless, perfect as we know.
It will never, ever, ever go bad.
That's right.
Not even once.
Not even once.
Not a single time.
The rating system will never, ever prove inadequate, and we will never, ever make an incorrect rating.
Exactly. We will never have to issue a correction.
I don't think we can.
That's right.
I don't think we can mess it up. I think we've tested it.
And yeah. Multiple times it's been tested.
We didn't mess it up. We can't.
Yeah, these are all closed cases. We've moved that evidence to a different room.
That's right. It's called evidence transferal.
That's right.
In big red letters.
In big old red letters. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love...
One of us would have to steal a key card in order to reopen those cases.
That's true. I do like the implication because... So, one of the things that obviously, like, there's so much going on in this case that's not important at all, but one of the things that I didn't really include is that Neil Marshall won the King of Prosecutors Award right before he was murdered. Mm-hmm. Like, he won it that day, and then they were questioning, like, Joe Dark, and then Gant killed him so that he could pin his murder on Joe Dark.
Once again, it's really funny.
And then 2 years later, he gives Miles Edgeworth the King of Prosecutors Award so that he can just make him look like a big dick and try to get him kicked out of the prosecutor's office. So, like, King of Prosecutors is a funny award in that if it comes to you, you're either going to die or get canned.
Yeah.
Seems to be the implication.
At least you get to wear a little cape for the day.
I hope so.
At least you get to wear a little cape. And is that not what it's all about? Is that not why we're here?
It should be. I think Miles Edgeworth would feel foolish in a cape. But that's why I want him to wear one.
That's why he should wear one all the more.
That's right.
Yeah. What else are you doing all those years of law school for?
Exactly.
What's the fucking point if not doing that? Hey, is it my turn to choose?
I think it is.
Okay. I'm going to be very honest on this one. I forgot it was my turn to choose, except, like, for today, where I was at work, and I was like, shit, it's my turn to choose.
It'd be like that sometimes.
I've had days like those.
So I'm going to choose one that I've had in the can for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys like card games?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. Oh, hell yeah.
Do you like card games on motorcycles? Because we're not doing card games on motorcycles. We're actually doing card games at school.
Let's go.
Hey, we're talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. We're talking about specifically Judai, his boyfriend Johan, and Judai's canonical wife, Yubel, and all the funny things that ensue between them.
So ready for this.
It's season 3 of Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. It's weird because the way Crunchyroll does their episodes is the entirety of the subtitled version is... one big season. So I don't technically know what episode of season 3 it would be if you're trying to find out a different source. But if you're on Crunchyroll, the episodes I want to do are 106 and 107. And then we take a big jump through the season because nothing in between matters.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff with zombies in the desert that's truly just not fucking important. It's
truly just or completely fun to watch. Useless. And then we're talking about the finale, which is basically, like, 5 episodes. It's 151, 152, 153, 154, 155. I'm sorry for doing so many, but there's so much to go through in this. And then the last two I want to talk about would be episode, if you want to do extra credit, 176 and 177. Once again, if you're like, what are those in the actual season numbers? I don't know.
We'll track it down.
We'll track it down. So we're talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. We also, I will be talking slightly about how Yu-Gi-Oh! GX is just a story about Judai collecting boyfriends and not realizing it.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just, it's all that happens during the show is him collecting another boyfriend and then being like, I don't know why you guys want to do this to me.
Damn, is this show about a CCG or a BCG?
Hey! That's it. That's what we're doing next time.
Beautiful.
Are we up plugs? I'm sorry, I'm very sleepy today.
Yeah, we can.
God, I've been half asleep since the start of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're up plugs. We can do plugs.
You can find the podcast at wewerequeerbait at twitter.com. You can find me on Tumblr at jazzdumpster. You can also find me on another podcast called The Sonic Hustle, a random and holistic Sonic lore podcast. Next recording, we're talking about Sonic Adventure 2, Dark Story.
Hell yeah.
I will be talking with hard eyes about Shadow the Hedgehog and what a little loser he is. I love Shadow so much.
We love Shadow the Hedgehog in this house.
We love Shadow the Hedgehog. I will be trying to make the case on that episode to say that Shadow the Hedgehog only listens to Animal I've Become or Rain on Me by Lady Gaga featuring Ariana Grande. Those are the two songs he's ever heard in his life.
Wow.
That sounds
I can't
right.
believe they're adapting SA2 for the Sonic Movie 3.
I'm so fucking excited.
That's gonna be wild.
It's gonna be so stupid.
It might be a fucking disaster, but either way, it's gonna be something to watch.
I can't wait to see Maria get shot on the big screen.
For real. I can't wait to see if the Pentagon lets them portray Gunn as the bad guys.
They probably won't.
Probably not.
They'll be, like, incompetent at best. Like, bumbling fools. Like,
It's gonna be like Shadow the Hedgehog 2005, where it's like, they did shoot a kid, but don't worry, the military are still good guys.
Yeah, they did just, like, ruthlessly shoot a child, but... Come on.
Can you really blame him?
Yeah, come on. She had bad vibes.
Did anyone ask if her vibes were off?
No one asked if she had bad vibes and was making funny faces at the soldier. So,
We shot a kid, but what do you want? 9/11 happened. Who cares?
We were all going through it. No one asked me how I was doing at that time.
That's right. My wife died and I just went around, like, looking for violence, you know what I mean?
I know, it's crazy.
It just be like that sometimes.
It's how you process, how I cope.
Yeah, it's my coping mechanism. Anyways, you can find our show's stuff on Tumblr at We Write Queerbait and at Go Next Will X Hunting, and I'm on Bandcamp at El Sky.
I'm on for Affinity with the username Space Robot. You can go there and look at my gallery. Maybe commission me for something. I'm also on a podcast called Check Out This Guy, where we talk about OCs. I'm also on an upcoming audio drama pilot podcast, news forthcoming. I'm also on a Let's Play that friend of the show Dan is making. We're doing the video game Small Saga.
Wow.
What if you were
small? About mice.
What if you were small?
What if you were
small? What if you were just so small? What if you were a little mouse?
And you got eaten by crabs.
The dream.
Yeah. Mostly that LP is just me and other host Patrick just trying to make up voices for NPCs on the fly really fast and trying to remember who's doing what and which voices we were doing for which characters.
Sometimes that's just somebody play a video game. I can't play Breath of the Wild around Devin because he does a very funny Zelda voice.
No, I do. Who are the fucking the guys in the temples? The...
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, it's the shrine guys. The, yeah. When you go into the shrine and they're like,
what? Yeah, you fucking, you button mash through the dialogue so I can't do it. Fucking depriving me.
It's a beautiful voice, though.
Then why don't you ever let, you know what?
We'll talk about it in court.
Yeah, I'm fucking taking your ass to court over this. Suing for damages.
That's so true, bestie.
So fucking true. It would actually be hilarious if we ended the podcast right now so I could take your ass to fucking court.
To fucking court for crimes against your funny voices.
Crimes against my funny little voice.
I'm banging my gavel. I'm ready for proceedings to begin.
Yeah, I've been ready for proceedings to begin. I'm just kidding. I would never do that.
It'd be crazy.
It'd be crazy.
I don't even have a gavel.
Oh, my God. We should get a gavel for the podcast.
We should.
That'll be a great audio experience.
It's beautiful for the audio if you just hear this really loud, like, right by the microphone, you know? Just
bang on the fucking table.
All podcasts have gavels, right?
Says yeah.
Yeah, it's a normal thing.
Someone who's only listened to Judge John Hodgman.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Been all a while right. Since I've thought about that podcast.
Good night, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.